That is a remix of Vivaldi's Spring by the duo Black Violin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Black Violin is on a mission to change perceptions through their music as two black men who are classically trained string instrumentalists, and they blur from rock and hip-hop, of course, classical, blurring genres, building audience. They got their start performing at clubs in their home state of Florida, and today they're collaborating with the likes of Alicia Keys, Wu-Tang Clan, and Lil Wayne, performing all over the world. So what do you think about blending genres of music? Do you appreciate that crossover? We're at 800-642-1234. Kevin Sylvester, also known as Kev Marcus, is on violin, and Wilner Baptiste, also known as Wilby, is on viola. They're Black Violin. They join us from our studios in Wausau, where they're in concert tonight. Kev Marcus and Wilby, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Good morning.
So both of you took unlikely paths to becoming musicians. And Will, let's start with you. Tell us how you started playing the viola.
All right. Ready for this?
We're ready.
I wanted to play the saxophone and put me in the wrong class. And I didn't find out until like 2012. We had our own show on Broadway. And our music teacher came to New York to see the show. And we went out after the show to have some drinks to hang out, and he told me the real story. He's like, listen, I never told you the real reason why you got in my class. I was like, what do you mean it was a mistake? He's like, no, I was actually the band teacher, and I actually played golf, and I won, and I got you in my class. So it was just...
Okay, so why were the teachers betting on you? What did they see?
I don't know. I mean, I think when I really was excited about playing the saxophone, I went to the band teacher, and I was excited. I was like, hey, man, I want to play. And he just kind of shook me to the side, like, all right, cool, just sign up. And I guess the string teacher was in the room at the time. And I guess they saw my enthusiasm to play the sax and, you know, make money on the weekends, because that's the reason why I wanted to play.
And Kev, your mom had a hand in you playing the violin. That wasn't something you were too excited about, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, when you say had a hand, my mother made me do it when I was in the fifth grade. And, it was just, you know, I was kind of hanging out with, you know, guys in the neighborhood that she didn't want me to follow them into middle school. So she really wanted to find something for me to do that would allow me to get into the performing arts middle school in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. And, to her credit, it worked. You know, she put me in the Saturday morning class and didn't really care for the instrument. I was kind of naturally good at it, but didn't want to do it. And then I got into the performing arts school, and then, you know, the love for it started to build there. And, you know, now it's 28 years later, and I'm still playing this instrument. So thanks, Mom. I really appreciate it.
It sounds like it kind of grew on you, that you were going through the motions at first and doing what Mom was forcing you to do. But then one day something clicked. When did it click for you?
Really, like, you know, I was like you said, I was always kind of good at it, but I didn't really care for it. It wasn't really until I noticed that people's perception of who I am changed when I told them I played the violin. That was sort of the deciding moment for me. I remember being in 10th grade, and I was trying to get a job, and a friend of mine recommended me for a job at Levitt's Furniture. I was working customer service, and I went in for the interview, and I remember telling her, I'm like, yeah, you know, she's like, well, what do you want to do in college? And I'm like, well, I'm a classically trained violinist, so I'm studying that, and, you know, I have some auditions I'm flying out to next month. And she's just like, what, really? Wow. And then she hired me right on the spot. And I'm like, man, you know, just the idea of me playing a violin made this lady just kind of just like, yeah, you know, she just like completely changed the perception of what this, you know, tall, like 16-year-old kind of heavy set black dude, you know, she hired me on the spot because she just, you know, she liked how I talked and she liked what I was doing. So I just love that violin does that. And for someone like me, it changes people's perception. And that was the thing that, you know, kind of made me stick with it. I'm like, well, I like doing things that people don't expect.
And we're going to dig deep into changing perceptions. We're talking to Kev Marcus and Will B. They're members of the classical hip-hop duo Black Violin. They're in Wisconsin for their new album tour. Are you a classical musician or a rapper or a hip-hop artist? What do you want people to know about the kind of music you make? Musicians, do you blend styles in the music you create? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. 1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Both of you ended up pursuing music careers, even though you may not have been exactly thrilled about orchestra as kids. Will, what was that path like for you, and how it just matured there, and you and Kev got together?
Well, the path was kind of interesting. I think for both of us, you know, we kind of went through the motions a little bit, and we always had reasons to keep going. You know, we were pretty good, and you know, we kept winning competitions and you know, solo ensembles and stuff like that. So we always had a reason. I think the moment for us is when we started doing things that I guess was perceived as being cool. You know, we would hear a song on the radio, come back to school, and play it. And kids were just like, whoa, that's kind of cool, you know.
What did you play for kids?
Well, one of the songs is called, it's a Busta Rhymes song. It's called Give Me Some Mo. And, you know, Kev came to class, and he kind of wrote down the notes and gave it to everybody, and we all just kind of played the song, you know. We went to we walked into the competition playing the song, and all the kids were just like, whoa, who's this group of kids, you know what I mean? So, you know, we started doing a whole lot of stuff like that. You know, our school was a performing arts school, so they, you know, it had all sorts of, you know, music and arts. You know, there was a rock band that was in our school, so, you know, I used to kind of like mess around with the rock band just while they're rehearsing. I'm just playing some stuff in the background, which is kind of weird because they couldn't hear me at all because it's a rock band. But
so jams were really part of your background, and you know, just blending with other musicians around you.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. It kept us going. It kept us interested in this instrument. I think in a lot of ways, we're no different than a lot of people that play the violin but just quit, you know, later on in life. But for us, we just kept going and had reasons to. And I think hip-hop had a lot to do with that, you know, being able to take this instrument and make it ours and being able to express ourselves with this instrument, you know.
Is it true that your viola is named Tiffany?
You're not supposed to tell everybody that.
Is that too intimate? Oh, gee.
No, it's something that I kind of reveal it at the show. But yeah, her name's Tiffany. We've been together for about 12 years. And
okay, good, strong relationship there. Kev, does your violin have a name?
I have multiple violins. They'd get jealous. So, you know, I don't even go that route, you know. I also have three daughters at home. So it's just too much going on. So I just, you know, I let Will do that. And he plays Tiffany, been playing the same viola for a long time. I switch violins in and out. So I'm a little different with it.
Kev, how did you realize that you and Will would work well together artistically, that you shared the same sensibility?
Well, I mean, it was like in college, you know, we share the same sensibility because we, you know, kind of, you know, live the same creative life, you know. And, you know, so we were just doing everything in orchestra. We weren't really blending the hip hop and everything. But in college, that's when we both went to different schools. And, you know, we'll get back together in the summers and be like, it's so different in college than it was in high school. You know, and then we both wanted to start making beats and doing. And because we never really saw ourselves, you know, sort of like wearing a tuxedo and the Florida Philharmonic or anything like that. You know, we just got full scholarships and we were just majoring in it because, you know, you have to major. Which is you accept a scholarship for. So we're just doing that portion of it. And then as we're doing that, you know, we're making beats and trying to figure out how to make classical, you know, work for hip hop.
Well, let's pause right there as we talk with Black Violin. Will B on viola, Kev Marcus on violin. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. Back with Black Violin in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're listening to the song Stereotypes, the title track from Black Violin's major label debut. Here on The Morning Show, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Kev Marcus and Will B, who take the violin and viola to new places, a mashup of that classical and hip-hop. They met in high school orchestra class, as we've learned. They got together after college, produced beats for South Florida rappers, performed hip-hop covers and clubs, all the while keeping their classical roots close. Do you love classical music? What do you love about it? Are you a fan of hip-hop or rap? What do you love about that style of music? What musicians do you look up to who defy stereotypes? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234 will be, and Kev Marcus, stay with us. So let's bring in that hip-hop influence now, because you're known for creating hip-hop versions of some of the most famous classical music songs in history. And so here is a taste of that with your song Shaker off your Stereotypes album. All right, Kev, what is going on there as you work on Shaker there, which is influenced by Simple Gifts? And, you know, if you hear more of that, you're going to hear that Lord of the Dance hymn.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Simple Gifts is one of the first songs that I can remember, like, learning in middle school, you know? It's one of those, like, right after Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and Minuet and, you know, all the typical kind of, you know, first book Suzuki stuff. You know, Simple Gifts is kind of right up there. It's just sort of a traditional hymn. And we wanted to kind of make a song that we kind of blend and do all this hip hop stuff with, but we wanted it to feel familiar, you know? So that's such a memorable and a noticeable theme that we like to take those kinds of themes and just like flip it on its head, so that when you hear it, hopefully you are just like, oh, I played that in middle school too, but listen to what it is. So it's like, it's familiar, yet we've taken it and transformed it into something else. And so we focus on those kinds of songs to, you know, make it something that connects to you emotionally, but then we take it and go somewhere completely different with it.
Well, what do you love about that, taking that transformation, things that are familiar to us, maybe from childhood, and then putting a new twist on them?
I mean, that's the beauty of art, you know what I mean? And being able to express yourself is taking something that you grew up listening to, something that you love, and just flipping on its head. I mean, we have a brand new album coming out November 1st, Take the Stairs, and it's, man, we really took that idea and really, you know, tried to really perfect it in a way that, and even as far as, even with Shaker, the way that sound, we took it even further with this new album, Take the Stairs. So it's just something that is always, it's always been fun for us. And I think for the listeners and the fans, you know, it's familiar to them, but at the same time, it's like, wow, look what they did with this thing that I've been listening to since I was, you know, a little kid. So it's just it's full circle. It kind of brings the two worlds together, which is, you know, hip hop and classical. It kind of merges, you know, bridges the gap, so to speak. Yeah.
We're talking with Will B and Kev Marcus. They're members of the classical hip hop duo Black Violin. They're in Wisconsin for their new album tour. Before we get to your new stuff and the new album, let's go back to talking about your album from 2015, Stereotypes, because the ideas of prejudice and stereotypes, they're a big part of your art. So let's listen to a bit of the song Invisible, which is on that album.
That murder is part of a ritual, a conventional analog man in a digital world where there's no one to listen to, where they kill us and show us the visuals. Image is so unforgettable. Infidels give us the minimal amount while they feeding us poisonous chemicals. We are not identical.
No.
But I am not invisible.
No.
You want me to vanish, it's pitiful. And I don't understand your subliminal messages, separate as criminals. I'm not invisible.
I'm not invisible.
Something you pull out of Invisible is that there is this running commentary through the song. I almost feel like you're being interviewed in the song. You know, here you guys are like 6'2", and you talk about going on an elevator and your presence. Kev, what's going into this song?
That song, man, it's so good. It's sometimes, you know, when you make music, you know, especially an album, the last album, I haven't heard it in so long, so it brought me back when you just played it. That song, you know, is Will is singing the vocals on that one. And that's a friend of ours named Pharoah Monch, who's, you know, a legendary, you know, hip hop rapper. And just to even collaborate with him on that was just amazing. And, you know, we wanted to make a song just like, you know, to let people know that it's just like, you know, you're not invisible, you know. Make sure that your presence is always felt. And, you know, so sometimes even if you feel invisible, just know that you're not, and, you know, work to make sure that everyone knows who you are and what you're capable of.
Will be, you know, some of the words in that song that stick in my mind, what a black man is capable of, and the words on notice and presence. How do you feel those words?
Man, I mean, we kind of live the stereotypes every day, like you mentioned, the idea of being in the elevator and having that presence, and, you know, even being in on the plane and someone looks at my case and never guessed that it's a string instrument in there, you know, and it is what it is. And I think as a society we've been brainwashed in a way, you know what I mean, to think that people that look a certain way are not capable of certain things, you know what I mean, or a woman isn't capable of something, or someone that's younger isn't capable of something, which is, you know, it's a completely false. And I think our mission overall is to really challenge that idea that, you know, someone that may be from a different place or look a certain way is not capable of something, you know what I mean? And we challenge this, what we challenge the kids to do, we challenge everyone to do that, you know? And that's what the idea of this song and that, you know, that quote is. I mean, it's you being me, you know, black guy, 6'2", you know what I mean? I should be a point guard, I guess, you know. With all the money they're giving out, that would be nice. But I play the viola and I love it, and
I'll stick with Tiffany.
Right, I stick with Tiffany, and we've been together for a long time. I do it well, and I want people to really, and that's the thing, when you see the show and you see us, hopefully we're breaking down the walls in your mind and the perception that you've had that society have taught you for so long. Hopefully we can break that down, and the next step is to have a conversation and talk, and you know, we look at each other as equal, you know.
Kev, one of my favorite things has been watching you guys on YouTube working with young kids and with a little, you know, with an orchestra behind you of kids. When you work with kids, do you have flashbacks to your own childhood? And what is that like?
Yeah, I mean, last night we played a show in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we had a string orchestra on stage. And, you know, during sound check, we did a little workshop with them. And that string orchestra particularly, it was just very, you know, ethnically diverse. They were so, like, lively. The kids were just, like, lively. They're high school kids, and they were fans, so there was some of that there, too. And it's just awesome, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, that's why we do it, because I often think about, like, what if our orchestra had a chance to play a black violin at a concert, you know, and what that does to them. And it's just not just a important part, but we feel like it's a responsibility of ours to pay it forward and to talk to kids in most markets we come into, either talk to them or perform for them or both, you know. And it's very, very important, and I think it's you know, it's part of our platform, and we take it very seriously.
Will, when you workshop with these kids, what's your sage advice? What do you tell them?
I mean, and you know, pretty much what we tell them to is that, you know, the violin is great. You know, the idea of playing classical music is amazing. But, you know, one of the things that kept us going is that we made this instrument speak for us. You know what I mean? We took this instrument and, you know, I named mine. You don't have to do that. But we made it work for us. You know what I mean? We expressed ourselves with this instrument. And the idea is to not be afraid to do that. You know what I mean? And you know, a lot of the kids, they're not. A lot of them are not going to grow up to be violinists or violists or cellists or bass players. But I think what you can learn, you can take that same idea in real life. You know what I mean? Like, just whatever you have a passion for, just do it over and over. And someday someone's going to pay you to do it, you know. And that's the idea. And I just love kids that are passionate about anything. You know what I mean? And I think when you find kids that are passionate about this type of art form, I mean, it's just amazing. And it's just about pushing the envelope further and farther. And that's what we try to instill in the kids. And they love it, man. They're very, very receptive to it. And that's one of our goals, man, to really preach this idea of, you know, thinking outside the box and just really pushing the envelope, you know.
We're talking with Black Violin, Kev Marcus and Will B on violin and viola, respectively. And we're going to be hearing their song A-flat. We're learning about their passion and mission to bust stereotypes as Black men who are classically trained musicians. Did you hear an artist you thought you hated without realizing it was them? Did someone you love give you a great playlist? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We have more to come with Black Violin in concert tonight in Wausau, tomorrow in Madison. Stay with us right after this news update. More conversation here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, this is A-flat by Black Violin. We have the duo Kev Marcus on violin, Will B on viola here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. They combine a wide array of musical styles and influences to produce their sound, all the while working to overcome stereotypes. Musicians, how do you break boundaries in your music? Do you blur lines between genres? Join in, 800-642-1234. Black Violin, Kev Marcus, Will B. They stay with us. Let's go to the phones now. Corey is joining us from Platteville. Hi, Corey.
Hello.
Hey. Go ahead.
So I play in a symphony orchestra, and we do outreach concerts for children every year, and we just did a concert with a rapper from Dubuque. His name was Lyric, and he was amazing, and the students went absolutely wild. And in most symphony orchestras, you know, let's be honest, there's a lot of white people on stage, and for those students to see themselves represented on stage, the energy in the hall was amazing. They went absolutely nuts, and I just applaud what these guys are doing. I've been listening to their stuff, and it's absolutely fantastic. I'm so glad to hear what they're doing and to get more people involved in a genre that, you know, is really intended to be for everyone.
Corey, thanks so much. Kev, what do you think?
Awesome. I mean, you know, that's what we're trying to do, is just that we're trying to just kind of, like you said, like blur the lines of who should do what, and allow everyone to see themselves within, you know, one of our favorite art forms, which is classical music, you know. So I'm glad that, you know, Lyric is doing that, and we're doing that. And hopefully there could be more artists that join in and try to, you know, break the stereotype.
Corey, do you think there's going to be more stuff in year with the Dubuque Symphony Orchestra? Do you see some more outreach like that?
Oh, yeah. The students loved it. I'm not particularly involved with, you know, who they hire. I just play in the orchestra. But I know the students loved it. Their educational program director loved it. Conductor loved it. So I do think that they'll ask him back. Well, and it was such a great experience.
Thanks so much for calling in. Let's look at your new album coming out November 1st, Take the Stairs, and we're going to hear a song, One Step, on your new album.
Been down, but I've been strong. This time it's a new song. Yeah. Thought I lost, but I still want it. One step to the future. Step to the future.
All right, Will, this sounds a bit of a departure from the other music we've been hearing. What's going on?
It's an evolution. You grow, you know, as artists. That's what you do. You just challenge yourself to not only get better, but just to like push the envelope even further. And this album definitely does that. Take the Stairs, and this song definitely does that. There's a lot more intentional with the vocals in terms of just the content of what we're speaking about, the idea of just hope. And, you know, we didn't want to be necessarily preaching to anyone, but we definitely wanted to be We wanted to focus on that idea of hope. And one step to the future, you know, as a society, man, as a people, you know, our humanity is being challenged every day. And what are we going to do? Let's take that right step, that one step to the future.
Yeah, Kev.
Love that song.
Yeah, I understand that you had a wall where you wrote ideas for the new album, Take the Stairs. How did those ideas form? What were you writing on the wall?
Well, you know, like when we got into the studio, we just, you know, on the wall, we wrote the word hope, you know, and we wanted to make an album, you know, like Will said, that wasn't preachy, but it was hopeful. And that was really our full intention, is just trying to, you know, make something that, you know, because the best music, it creates some sort of emotion. And we wanted for this project to be like, you know, after you finish it, you just want to like burst through a wall and nothing will stop you from, you know, reaching your goals and following your passion. And that was sort of the entire intention of the album, is to make something that, like, almost like an album you have to go back to every now and then just to refill that hope and refill that I can do anything. And that's kind of what we feel like we came up with here.
You've called this album a more dramatic soundscape, but there's also more rock influence. What's going on there, Kev?
It's a little bit of everything, you know.
Okay.
I think everyone thinks of us and they think it's just like classical and hip hop, but I mean, like, Will listens to a ton of folk music, you know. I do listen to quite a bit of classical, but I listen to a ton of rock. I listen to, you know, everything. And I think when we're in a studio, we don't compartmentalize the types of music that we're into and what will influence this album. It's always just kind of everywhere. So it's like, you know, One Step, for instance, is a song that's more rock based, but then we have a song called Serenade that it's Dvorak Serenade for strings, and we threw a beat on it. And then we have another song called Al Green where we'll throw a classical thing in there, but it's a funk bass line, and it's just like, you know, and it's all about trying to, like, just, you know, switch it up. Everything we're trying to do is always about, like, wow, I didn't think that was possible. Just like when you said, when you played the song and you said, well, that's a departure. Well, like, that's the exact response we want. We want to be like, well, I wasn't expecting that, you know.
Well, Will, are there competing interests though? Because, you know, you can't play favorites with these genres. You have to make them play well together in the same sandbox, right?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But it's for us, it's like a nice big bowl of gumbo. You know, it's all types of ingredients in there, and you know, certain ingredients are highlighted for sure. But that's the thing. The violin is the glue that kind of keeps everything together, you know. And with that one song, One Step, you know, it definitely has a lot of rock influence. And like Kev said, there's a lot of different, you know, just vibes and genre bending stuff. But the violin just keeps everything honest, you know, I think. And that's what kind of makes this album is kind of diverse as it is in terms of just the soundscape and different genres. It's very coherent, I think, and very consistent because of the violin, you know.
Are you
violin,
doing
viola.
Yeah, are you doing more singing on this album, Will?
Yeah, I am.
how is that
more
going?
Singing.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, I think for me as a vocalist, I had to come to the terms that I am a vocalist, you know, cuz I'm still a musician at heart, and I am, and being a vocalist is an instrument, but it's just something I really had to come to grips with, and I had to, now I'm, you know, I'm constantly focusing on my vocals and taking lessons and
because there's
all that
the voice
stuff.
Training now on top of keeping fresh on your strings.
Right. Some more work now.
Layering it on. We're talking with Will B and Kev Marcus. They're members of the classical hip hop duo Black Violin. They're in Wisconsin for their new album tour right now in Wausau. You can join in at 800-642-1234. So Black Violin has also been involved with Turnaround Arts. That's a program from the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., pairing artists with schools, struggling schools. Kev, can you tell us about that program, that work?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. It's one of our favorite things that we do. Basically, the Turnaround Arts, you know, there's a lot of different artists, like Usher's one, Alfie Woodard. This is all kind of amazing people that we're connected with because of this. But basically, they award us a school, and we wanted the school in our district at home at Fort Lauderdale so that when we're home, we can actually, you know, go to the school, and it's very accessible. And it's actually a feeder school. It says Bethune Cookman Elementary School. It's the feeder school to the in middle school and high school that we studied at.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we wanted to be able to be able to help. And at those schools, the middle school and high school we studied at, and they no longer have string programs. So in a way, we want to bring those string programs back. So we want to start with the elementary school and hopefully feed back into those schools again. And basically, you know, we go to the school a few times a year. We also, you know, if we also have like meetings with the superintendent to try to get more grants or more funding or more instruments. So we try to do that with them. And we had the opportunity last month and to fly 25 of our kids from Bethune-Cookman Elementary, and we grabbed a couple other schools too. Walker Elementary was with us, and the Kennedy Center flew them to the new installation at the Kennedy Center called The Reach, and we were part of the grand opening festivities, and we had 25 of our kids on stage with us, and they were like, you know, emotional. Most of them had never been on planes before, and just the fact that the Kennedy Center and Turnaround Arts was able to help facilitate this was life-changing for some of these kids. And so for us, it's just an honor to be part of that program and to be able to have been part of the grand opening of The Reach at the Kennedy Center, and to be able to bring them to be part of that, you know, it was just, you know, the highlight of our year for sure.
Will, do you think that things are different for kids today, that we're growing up where there's more access to music and the arts, or is that really an evolution? You know, how much access do kids have to string instruments today, especially kids of color?
Yeah, it's funny. It's less access, I think. I mean, I think there's a lot more access in general in terms of just like, you know, the internet and all these different things. Is there a lot more distractions, I would say. But I think what's lacking, I think, is the appreciation for the arts and understanding how effective it is with these kids. I mean, if you have kids that are able to find an instrument or find something that's artistic and they're able to express themselves, I mean, it goes such a long way. I mean, having a kid that is passionate about the violin, viola, or anything dealing with the arts, it allows that kid to be focused on other, you know, stuff like reading or, you know, literature or math. Mm. It just helps in overall, and that's one of the things that Turnaround Arts is really, really good at, you know what I'm saying, allowing to implement the arts and just creativity in different subjects, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's unfortunate, I think, man, because, you know, if you think of sports, you know, sports is just like the number one thing that is highlighted. You know what I mean? They don't cut that budget at all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think our communities, the parents with the teachers, we have to take control. We have to understand how effective, how amazing that is. Cause we know, you know, I was a better student in school because of the viola, you know, with mm-hmm. math and everything else.
Well,
it's crucial, you know.
Will B, Kev Marcus, thank you so much for sharing your music.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
They're the hip-hop duo Black Violin, playing tonight in Wausau in Madison, tomorrow at Overture. Take the Stairs, their new album, out November 1st. Yeah, and they joined us from our Wausau studios. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the UW Badgers here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Badgers suffered a stunning loss to Illinois last weekend, but heading into big game Saturday against Ohio State, Coach Paul Chryst says the team must move on.
They're resilient, and you know, we have to turn the page fast.
That was Chryst speaking with reporters Monday. Do you agree with the game and roster decisions? Do you think the team still has a shot at the Big Ten Championship? Have you gone to a game at Camp Randall this year? What do you think? We're at 800-642-1234. Matt Bells covers the Badgers for Bucky's Fifth Quarter. It's part of the SB Nation Network. Matt, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me back.
So what's at stake here Saturday when they play the Buckeyes, you know, ranked number 6 in the nation? What's gonna go down there?
I mean, I think this is by far the biggest game, especially coming off of that colossal upset last week. I know fans are still kind of licking their wounds after that one, so to speak, but the Badgers really need this game to continue their trajectory in the Big Ten and try to make sure that they get to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship, which is ultimately the goal each season.
So if they lose, could the Badgers still play for the Big Ten Conference Championship? What would happen?
So if they were to lose, they still could make it.
Okay.
They would need a little bit of help. They still have Iowa and Minnesota on their schedule. Iowa will likely have, right now has one loss, I should say, and the Badgers would have to beat them. Minnesota hasn't lost yet. And as the big rivalry in Wisconsin territory, that's going to be a big game, and it's the last game of the season. So if Minnesota were to not trip up prior to playing the Badgers, then it would be a game where Minnesota's already clinched it, no matter if the Badgers were to beat them. But if Minnesota were to fall prior to playing the Badgers, they would have still a shot.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to the Buckeyes. They have scored about 7 times more points than their opponents this season. So is it more about their running game, or is it about passing? What's going on?
I think it's the blend of both on their offense. You know, they brought in a transfer quarterback. He was a tremendous athlete. He used to go to Georgia, but actually came in and started right away. He both can throw and run. He's a dual threat guy. But then they have a tremendous running back in J.K. Dobbins. He, like Jonathan Taylor for the Badgers, is also a 3-year starter and is known as one of the best running backs in the nation. So they're able to kind of use both their quarterback and the running back to light up the scoreboard for their offense. But I would say if it came down to something, their rushing offense is 3rd in the nation, which is phenomenal.
That's huge. So will the Badgers offer them a new test in any way?
Yeah, I think the Badger defense is something different than what Ohio State has seen this year. Ohio State has taken on Michigan State, a team that the Badgers beat handily. But beyond that, they really haven't had a very difficult schedule to this point. Wisconsin, on the other hand, has taken on Michigan State as well. So they've taken on a little bit more and also are leading the nation still in total defense and rush defense and passing defense. So the Wisconsin defense is going to be something that's a little unfamiliar to them and something different. And I think it'll be a nice clash of how well their offense is with how great the Wisconsin defense is.
We're talking about this nice clash, catching up on the UW Badgers. Our guide is Matt Bells, who covers the team for Bucky's Fifth Quarter. It's part of the SB Nation Network. You can join in. What questions do you have about the Badgers? Did you watch last week's loss in Illinois? What do you think about the next game against Ohio State? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us WPR Mornings. So, Matt, let's step back, look at this season. How have the Badgers performed this season against, other nationally ranked teams? You mentioned Michigan there.
Yeah, so, I mean, to this point, they've actually fared fairly well. You know, they were able to beat Michigan, in a game that a lot of people thought would be very close, and the Badgers kind of ran away with it. They were able to establish their game and kind of do what they wanted to throughout the game. And then Michigan State was also a team that was ranked throughout the year up until that Badger loss. So they've fared very well against ranked opponents, and across their schedule in general, they had looked, basically unbeatable up until that Illinois game. And that game kind of fell apart for them in a lot of different ways. But the team came into the season projected to win, 9 games or so by most media pundits. And to this point, they've kind of surpassed those expectations, especially in the first 6 games.
What went wrong last weekend? Can you dissect that for us?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of a couple different things. The big plays, Wisconsin defense had been so good, and Illinois only had the ball for about 20 minutes. And out of a 60-minute game, that's not very much. And Wisconsin was able to win across most major statistical categories. But what happened was Wisconsin fumbled and threw an interception late in the game and allowed Illinois to kind of hang around most of that game. And then it was just kind of fell apart at the very end. And some big plays happened from Illinois' side. They only completed 9 passes, but those 9 passes went for over 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. So there was a 49-yard throw and then 2 30-yard throws. So it was just big plays kind of happened at inopportune times, and the Badgers just kind of made things happen that were uncharacteristic to what you had seen prior to that game.
Do you see them making any big adjustments to roster or play calling after what happened, last weekend with Illinois?
I think at times last week, the Badgers kind of shelled in on offense and played very conservative in terms of wanting to grind the game out. They almost played not to lose, so to speak, in a lot of ways, making sure that they kind of dominated the time of possession and having the ball on offense, and tried to minimize the margin of error. I think this week the Badgers are going to have to be more aggressive on offense. Ohio State is a team that if Wisconsin does what they normally do and are able to have the ball for the majority of the game, they can't kick field goals, something that happened on two occasions last week that they settled for field goals inside the 10-yard line, and they also missed a field goal. So to beat Ohio State, Wisconsin's going to have to sustain those long drives, then make sure that they're not going ahead and settling for field goals, because 3 points is a glaring difference than seven.
So be really
in a game like this.
Yeah, strong on the fundamentals. There's still a season, as you said, after Ohio State, there's still games to play. Badgers host Iowa. What might we see there?
I think that's going to be a really good game. Iowa always plays Wisconsin really well. Both teams are very similar stylistically. They both have lean on their run games and have stout defenses. So I think that'll be a fun game. I think right now, they haven't determined the exact time for that game, but I would assume that it'll most likely be an afternoon game. Iowa is playing very strong. Wisconsin's playing obviously very strong as well. So that should be maybe a 2:30, 3 o'clock kick that fans can come and enjoy the festivities prior to the game as well as the game itself.
Okay, and then Minnesota on November 30th. As you say, this is a big rivalry here. Who looks like the team to take home Paul Bunyan's axis here?
I think this is one of the times when it's actually going to be a game that's going to be close. At times Wisconsin has dominated the rivalry within the past, two decades or so. Wisconsin had won 14 in a row. Last week was obviously a little bit different, but this week I'm expecting that the Badgers are going to come, or that week, I'm going to expect that the Badgers are going to come out fired up. That's going to be a game that they're fighting for Paul Bunyan's axe, as well as potentially a spot to go to Indianapolis.
And there's still plenty of time for them to, November 30th is far enough away where they can still do some fine tuning.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's what happens, especially in a developmental program like Wisconsin. They go ahead and they get better throughout the season. You'll oftentimes see, because the younger players are starting to get in the spot where they're starting to understand the game. For example, one of the fullbacks last week, it was his first game that he's ever played as a true freshman. And so some of those younger guys are starting to learn what it takes to play in the Big Ten, are getting to a point where they can help out the team as well.
Well, Matt, thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Matt Bells covers UW for Buckeyes Fifth Quarter, part of the SB Nation Network. Badgers visit the Ohio State Buckeyes Saturday, kickoff scheduled for 11 a.m. Just ahead, leaders from the Republican and Democratic parties of Wisconsin join our program for a discussion on state and national politics. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.